Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire, presented by Finished MMA and the United Way Merced.
What's up to The Fighter's Voice? I'm your host, Don McGuire. It's a Misfits of Gold weekly special. You know, I look forward to this show each and every week as gives me a chance to kind of kick back, relax, and talk about subjects and topics that I don't usually talk about on my show. I'm being joined by MF Beck and Travis Hyland. What's up, fellas? I can't even talk today.
What's up, gangster?
How's it going, Don?
Freezing, man. Freezing. I woke up the other day, it was 27 degrees, and it had been 70 degrees the day prior, so it was kind of a big jump, but, you know, it's kind of that time of year here, but I'm fitting to jump out of this stuff. But, you know, I kind of want to talk about a little bit of fights to start this week's show off, man. You know, I look back at the Colby Covington, Damian Amaya fight, and, you know, the opportunity for Colby to come on the show was there. I kind of let that kind of, you know, slide to the side. And, you know, being a journalist in this business, you know, this is where people don't understand how hard it truly gets. I back Colby Covington to a T. I've backed him since day one. I will always back him. But when it comes to doing a show, you know, when you look at my fan base, you know, almost half my fan base is out of Brazil. So when you look at that, the scenario of what transpired over there in Brazil, them spitting on him, throwing bottles at him, calling him derogatory names, trying to hit him, and, you know, even Lyoto Machida tried to fight him in the back. When you look at the set, I guess the best way to put it, when you look at where I'm stuck as a journalist, how do you guys feel I should handle that? And do you think not doing that show was in the best interest of my career? And I'll start with you, MF.
I mean, I think it is what it is on the business side. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm not too savvy on what he said or what he did. I was just reading about how he pissed a lot of people off. You know, like, I don't know if it was something racial or something fucking like, whatever he fucking did. So I really can't, like, sit there and give, like 100%, an answer on it. But as far as it goes, like, on a business side, dude, there's certain things that you can't go around doing the same. Granted, you have the right to do it. You have the right to be an asshole. But, you know, on a business side, it's like, in a way, that's alienating, like, a certain demographic of people, and I don't feel that part is right. So as far as not doing the show, man, I could understand that if I did. Like, you're alienating my, you know, my listeners, my demographic, so I can't really have you doing that, and let alone that. Like, yeah, I mean, you can offend people, dude. I mean, everybody has a right to be a fucking asshole. But at the same time, if you got to respect people's right to, you know, kind of back them on, I don't agree with you being an asshole. What Travis posted on our Instagram, like, we don't have to respect your beliefs. All we have to do is fucking acknowledge them and reserve the right to say you're full of shit.
Yeah, you know, I appreciate that, because I'm gonna throw a little bit more of a tidbit in there. I mean, he basically called the people of Brazil heathens. I mean, but the thing of it is, I don't blame Colby for this, because, for one, I don't walk in his shoes. But two, if I was being spit on, having water bottles thrown at me, and I mean, I've been hit by water bottles before shooting cage sites, so I know how it feels. It doesn't feel so good, you know. But to be caught up in the heat of the moment as a warrior, you know, you're trying to get to the top of your weight class, your division, and, you know, so there's going to be things you're going to say. There's going to be certain ways you hold yourself. You're in a foreign country, you know. Travis, being that you're still fighting, you know, in the eyes of a fighter, how would you look at that in retrospect if it was yourself?
You know, like I've said on this show time and time again, Don, you know, I'm always looking at the individual and the individual behind their actions. You know, I mean, I don't necessarily agree with what Colby said, you know, in the fact that he generalized all of Brazil as being, you know, the particular individuals that he ran into, you know, when he was down there, you know. And you got to realize that when you're going down there, you know, and you're fighting a dude like Damian Maia in Brazil, yeah, people are going to talk shit to you. It's the same thing as, you know, if, you know, Damian Maia were to come up here and fight Colby. You know, so I don't really agree with necessarily with the statement that he made, just because it's a generalization against an entire nation of people. But at the same time, Don, you know, I'm kind of on the other shoe where I absolutely respect his right to say it. I think that, you know, this day and age that we're in, man, with like the Conor McGregor effect, you know, unfortunately that what he said, it has gotten him more attention and more publicity than fucking anybody else on that fight card. And it's all just because he talked a little bit of shit afterwards, you know. Is that right? I don't necessarily know or agree with, you know. But at the same time, you know, I almost think like I do actually would have liked to see him on your show, Don. You know, because again, you know, I judge every individual by their individual actions, you know. So I think that bringing him, you know, onto your show after that wouldn't have reflected badly on you. You know, it would have given Kobe a chance to kind of explain what he was going through, his emotions, why he said that, you know, the things that led him up to that point, and really get, you know, at least get a nuanced, you know, idea of both sides of the story and not just, you know, the little headline that you see on social media.
You know, it's kind of awkward for me, you know, I'll be quite honest, you know, it happened to be the day that he was going to come back was Halloween, so it, you know, in a way it was, to me, I don't think the show would have been justified anyway or would have got the listens because, in all reality, everybody was finally getting a break away from the norm of life, and, you know, I still might do that show, you know, because I don't want to break the actual reality of me and Colby's friendship. You know, Colby has come on my show each and every Tuesday after every fight of his career in the UFC. And, you know, I appreciate that from Colby Covington. I think he's a tremendous individual, and I think he's a truly, truly a hungry warrior. You know, I find myself being kind of stuck in a lot of situations sometimes being this, but this Thursday I'll be able to get an actual awkward side of a thought in the sport, you know, because on Thursdays I do a boxing show. Well, tomorrow we're going to have a gentleman that started his career in 1949 and retired in 1963, being, you know, considered and his nickname is the Uncrowned Champion, and that's Joey Giambra. And the gentleman is 83 years old. Opening the show will be Marlon Starling, but to be able to have a gentleman from the Sweet Science from back in, you know, the early days of it and get his thoughts and his thought processes on, you know, the sport and where life and each generational divide has gone is going to be quite a feather in my hat. You know, when you look at that situation, MF, how would you go at it? Because I know you're a man that likes knowledge. This is the first actual interview that I will ever have from a gentleman that ended his career at 63. I mean, before I was even born. So we're talking almost 60 years ago, this man stopped fighting. How, if you were in my shoes, how would you go at ascertaining the stories of his past?
Man, I love talking to OGs like that. It's, you know, they come from a different time, like different experiences, different lives. The world was, you know, completely fucking different. And let alone that, dude, they got, like, I'm a big believer, and it's like I've talked about on the show, I don't believe I'm, like, a wise man. I'm just an experienced guy, you know, like, I've been through a lot, so I've seen a lot. And when you get, like, an OG like that, it's they fought for a different reason, like, than what we're fighting for now. You know what I mean? So it's a completely different type of knowledge that we can gain from, like, over Urban Sprawl, we got an OG like that. His name's you know, granted, he's like the most perverted motherfucker I've ever met in my life, and that's just a lot. He's like 105, like, you know, they were fucking kickstarting Model T's and shit. I mean, he's not that old. I mean, he's as old as you, maybe a little bit older.
Yeah.
No, you're definitely way older. But, you know, we got another OG like that. Like, he was one of Muhammad Ali's sparring partners, you know, and the way he talks is like, the guy knows what the fuck he's talking about. So it's cool to take, like, that type of information and try and apply it in, like, our fighting nowadays, you know, like, our styles nowadays. So granted, it's, like, there are some things that work, but it's, like, just like you sometimes, you get stuck in the OG ways, you know, like, the world isn't the same anymore, so it's, you know, you can't change somebody. If they were boxers, they believed in boxing, they loved boxing, everything was boxing for 60 years, you're not going to go tell that motherfucker shit. So I'll tell you right now, like, in 30 years, probably ain't nobody going to tell me shit. But I love just getting the knowledge, the wisdom that comes from that, and trying to apply it into my life, you know, or try to, like, help the other guys apply it. because it's genius, dude. It really is. Like, there's no type of, there's no better teacher than experience. You know what I mean?
Oh, I love that quote, man. I might have to steal that, you know, because that's truly a profound quote. Because, you know, I brought you on the show with Crew Yawadi Hurst, and, you know, there was a lot of reasoning and mentality behind that. I wanted you to see what I loved about the sport and let you gain some insight into somebody that was a tremendous aspect to Muay Thai. And, you know, you look at people like that, man, and it just blows your mind away. You know, I look back at another situation is I look back at the Pat Miletich interview that I did. You know, here I have one of the greatest figures in sports today. He cannot go anywhere without being noticed. You know, and he's talking about UFC 215, about how he had a gun loaded in his drawer, ready to blow his head off if he didn't win that fight that night. And, you know, in a lot of ways I sit back after shows and I look at myself and I think, Phil, how am I entitled to get this type of knowledge? What makes me so special that people want to share these thoughts that sometimes are best kept to yourself, you know? And there is no answer for me. I look in the mirror and I try to figure it out. And, you know, I'm a lot like you, MF, you know, and you are correct. I'm kind of stuck in my ways. So I'm going to go to the new buck here and ask Travis, when you listen to shows like that, or, you know, I don't know if you listen to that one in particular, but if you take that type of scenario where you've got one of the greatest fighters that has existed, in Pat Miletich, telling you that if he didn't win at UFC 15, that he was going to blow his brains out, and thank God he won. But, you know, if you were in my shoes, how would you handle that type of situation, having that type of knowledge bestowed on you?
I mean, man, I think you handle it perfectly, Don. The only way to handle those kinds of situations, you know, is with openness and with honesty. You know, and I mean, it's like, it's kind of amazing because we think about it today and, like, you know, you have kids, Don. I know a lot of people who listen to the show have kids. And, you know, one thing that parents want to do with their kids today is they want to make everything easy for them. You know, they want their life to be better than the life they had. They don't want their kids to struggle. They don't want their kids to get picked on or bullied, you know. And but at the same time, it's a really strange thing. Because you look at people that are, you know, incredible people. And I don't just mean, you know, high-level athletes. I mean, you know, incredibly smart people, incredibly artistic people. You know, but, I mean, I know fighting, so let's keep it on that. And you go back and, you know, you hear stories of all these great fighters, you know, like you were talking about Pat Miletich. You know, you go back to LeBron James, Michael Jordan. You know, and it's kind of what we were talking about last week where – if you don't struggle as a young man, as a child, you know, if you don't go through hard times, if you're not tested, if you're not put under pressure, then you don't develop that character. You know, you don't develop the skill set. You don't develop the mindset that turns people into these, you know, these great, great individuals. And, you know, it's like it's hearing things like that it really shows you that, you know, these are just people, the same as me or you. And the only difference in these people is the actions in which they choose to do, you know? And it's just an incredible thing because, you know, like I was saying, most parents nowadays try and keep their kids from all the bad things. But it seems like those bad things and those pressures and that struggle that you know, all of us go through as, you know, young men and young women, those are the things that define us. And those are the things that make us great and exceptional. And you know, those are the things that people look back on in hundreds of years and say, wow, look at the incredible things this dude does. It was never the fact that, you know, oh, look, this guy was born with $1 million on a fucking Tempur-Pedic mattress. That's never the story of coming up. The story is my dad left when I was fucking 2. You know, my mom died when I was 6. I was homeless at the age of 11. And guess what? I struggled and I busted my ass. And, you know, I went to the gym every fucking day until you become that great fighter, until you become that champion. And it's just, you know, we always talk about how much the world is changing, you know, and the world is getting softer and softer to where now we don't even have sports. We don't even have kids who compete against other kids. Everyone just gets a participation trophy. You know, so I'd actually like to ask you this, Don, you know, you being the oldest one of us three, you know, and we talked about having, you know, even older people on with us, you know, what does the future for kids look like when they don't have that struggle, when they don't have these things that define us and these things that, you know, turn people into incredible people?
You know, I'm honestly glad you asked that question, because I was sitting there in deep thought last night, you know, because, you know, here it is Halloween and not a single kid was out. Not a single kid was in the street. And this is a thought that's been perplexing me about the kids in society today, because, you know, I look at when I was a young man and, you know, I used to walk down the street, the neighborhood would be full of kids, you know, life was life. And, you know, now I look at the sport from when I started in life and the sport in life where I'm at now, and it saddens me. It truly does. It's like I feel like we're getting near the end of whatever. You know, a lot of people believe in God. A lot of people believe in different things, so I don't want to discredit anybody's beliefs. So I'll just put it in that reference. You know, to me, in my thoughts, we're getting to the end days, or the days of something that none of us are going to be able to control or understand. You know, I look at it as the demise. You know, when I look at when I was a little kid, you know, I used to play for a year that I came back from military school. I played at, you know, in this baseball league for, I think it was Parkway Middle League baseball. And I happened to be on the same team as Fernando Viña, who ended up going on to be the second baseman for the St. Louis Cardinals. But, you know, I look at those days and times in my life, and there was tons of kids in sports. There was tons of kids playing Pop Warner. And, you know, it was a tremendous thing. Now I look at the way I looked at life all the way from then until now. And each and every, we'll take it in 10-year increments, each and every 10 years, it's like that is less and less and less. I mean, even you as a young man now, you can drive down your street and there's no kids playing. It's almost like there is no life for these kids. So the way I feel about the future of the sport, the way I feel about where our youth are going and where society is going as far as just everything and until it all into one, I think it's truly at its worst. I think it's going to get even worse. I think that we're seeing a decline in human nature, and I think that a lot of people are going to be more and more on the offensive when it comes to having, you know, conversations like we do on the show. I just think in a whole that society is on a downward spiral, and there's no way to bring it back. I think as far as the youth are concerned, I don't think they've been given a fair shake. You know, that's my opinion. Anybody going to talk?
Yeah,
you're
just like an
host. We're listening to you.
What was that?
I said, you're the host, motherfucker. Hey,
well,
but
I
got to
ask a question.
When you think about it, dude, like, what generation that hasn't come before a previous generation didn't think they were going to shit? I'm sure the OGs of your time are probably looking at you like, this stupid motherfucker is going to ruin the world. You know, and that probably happens every single generation, dude, because times change, values change, people change. Like, everything fucking changes. Like, technically, you know, my generation, like, my graduating class was the last one to not be influenced by social media. How fucking stupid is that? You know, I grew up, we were playing in the streets, but it was like it gradually changed. You know, so it's just the way things are now. But even then, like, look at the sport we're in, dude. Like, there's so many youngsters that are doing jits and kickboxing and fucking MMA. Like, I even got a little youngster right now, my only fucking kid that I teach, you know, and that little bastard gives me fucking hope. He really does, dude. Like, I got all these kids and no drive and no want, not willing to do the hard shit and always want to take the easy road. He may come in here, and you can ask Travis, like, I put him through some shit. You know what I mean? Like, I knock him on his ass every single day. and he gets up, taps his glove, and gets up for fucking more. You know, like, that's the drive you can't teach, and that's what I think will keep, like, help him go far. Like, almost, you know, he was meant to be in front of me at this particular point in time to show me that kids, there are kids out there that are willing to, you know, go through those hardships, go through the shit, even though, like, you know, he's from El Dorado Hills. He's not from a bad neighborhood. And he was definitely, you know, brought up well. But at the same time, even though he's brought up well, he's willing to go back and, like, to suck at something, to be shit, to be told you fucking don't know what you're doing, to be told you're doing it wrong, you know, and still keep going. Even though he's had a good upbringing, he's willing to put himself through that shit to learn. You know what I mean? Like, that gives me fucking hope, dude.
Yeah, it truly does. Hold that thought as, you know, my show is getting ready to go completely into syndication. I do have to do these breaks, so we're gonna take a 1 minute timeout, and then when we come back, we'll continue with a Misfits of Gold weekly special.
What up, it's your boy Slone Bone of the Mo Thugs Movement, part of the Bone Thugs and Harmony family tree, the 86ers brand ambassador. Check it out though, listen, in the world full of followers, be proud to be different, be an 86er. So what I need y'all to do is go to the 86ers.net. We got the dopest apparel, men and women, everything you need for a fresh start. I'm talking tees, zip-ups, tanks, hoodies, and the best hat. At a price nobody can match. I'ma ask you this though. What do your clothes say about you? If you don't know, come to the 86ers.net and find yourself out. And a special shout out to Don McGuire, the host of the Fighter's Voice. Salute, big homie.
And welcome back to the Fighter's Voice. The green room is open. The guest call-in line is 323-417-6810. We're on the Misfits of Gold weekly special. I'm being joined by MF Beck and Travis Hyland. You know, before we took the break, we were kind of talking about things, but I kind of want to touch a little bit more before we move on. You know, one thing I think you'll agree with me, MF, and, you know, I do get your point about, you know, the OGs before me probably looked at it and said, you know, these guys are screwing up, all hope is lost. But, you know, one thing that I can take back, when we had a difference, when we had a, you know, or I mean indifference, when we had a disagreement, when we didn't get along with each other, we both went back behind the school building and we beat the crap out of each other after it was done. We were still friends. We went over to each other's house for dinner or stayed the night or went and kicked it or did whatever. Nowadays, when there's a situation like that, somebody ends up dead. You know, the thought, looking at it in that retrospect, you know, yeah, each generation is going to be different because they have to be. They have to be unique in their own standard. But the thought of taking somebody's life compared to when, like when I was a kid, we beat each other up. I mean, now people don't even talk crap anymore. They just pull a gat out and shoot you. You know, looking at it in that aspect, I mean, how hard is it for somebody like you, Travis Hyland, to drive down the road, to go to an event or something without feeling that you're going to be physically, you know, attacked in that manner?
No, well, I mean, luckily I don't go to events, Don. You know, I'm kind of already a 28-year-old fucking crotchety old man. You know, one of the weird things about me growing up, you know, was I just barely saw, you know, as I was getting into high school was when this kind of stuff was starting to creep in and really become prevalent in life, you know. And so like you were saying, man, when we were kids, and you would go to school, you'd get in a disagreement with somebody, you'd fight, you guys would hug it out, and then everything would go back to being normal. You know, now with social media, now with YouTube, you know, how many times a day do you see people getting in fights on YouTube? And now that fight isn't just a fight between you and that guy, but now you have to go home and the entire school gets to replay it. And, you know, everybody in the school is on YouTube, and now, you know, everybody is just watching the video of you getting knocked out or getting thrown down on the street over and over and over and over again. You know, so I think that's one of the things that makes it, like, a completely different world you know, like MF was saying before, you know, I do think that there was all, there's always been this sense of, you know, the younger generation isn't upholding the same values and they're screwing everything up, you know. But I think upholding the same values isn't necessarily contrary to what's going on now, you know. We're operating in an entirely new system. And like I've said 1,000 times before, you know, I don't think human beings are designed for this kind of system. You know, we're not supposed to just sit, you know, turn on Facebook all day and get all of the bad news from the world and every shitty, terrible thing that's ever happened to everybody forever. And, you know, like kids are growing up today, man, and there are 3- and 4-year-old kids who they have no memories yet. They can't talk yet, but they already have a social media presence. I mean, I know kids nowadays, 2- and 3-year-old kids of, you know, family friends of mine who have Facebook profiles that their parents are posting them for. You know, what is it like growing up in a world when there's no real life? You know, when there is a written on video record of every stupid fuck up you've ever had in your entire life, you know? And I got to say, Don, one of the biggest things I think that I got lucky with is the fact that I was a teenager in the time when everybody didn't have a camera in their pocket. Because then, you know, as much trouble as I got into without that shit, I would really be fucked today if, you know, there were cameras floating around all the day. So, you know, I think it's a complete, it's not even comparable really to the other generations, you know, comparing it to the other generations because of this new thing, because of this internet, this thing that is just fucking up everything. It's fucking up all of Hollywood. It's fucking up government. You know, it's taking society and really all of the systems that have been around for hundreds of years are all getting fucked up all around the world because of the internet.
Yeah. Yeah, before, you know, one more thought before we move on, you know, MF, you remember that show I did with, remember I had dropped into this guy named Franklin Benjamin's live feed, and it was all about the stupid Vegas conspiracy thing, and he was all spouting off, and Emmanuel Newton, the former light heavyweight world champion, jumped into the live feed, and they kind of got into it. So I decided to bring both of them on the show thinking that, hey, you know what, here's a chance for you know, my show to bring two different obstacles together and see if I could put them on the same page. And so I created that show. I did that show, and about 10-15 minutes in the show, Franklin Benjamin thanked Emmanuel Newton and said, you know, bro, I got to tell you, if you'd have told me before this show, it never would have, you know, I never would have said I would have ever agreed with you, but I did because you're speaking, you know, with knowledge. Then, you know, I felt pretty good about it, man. I felt like, you know, I brought two dudes together that saw totally different, you know, and I thought that was pretty unique. So I let the dude on my friends list, and then I was watching a feed that he did. He's driving down the road, and a car is on fire, and he has time to get his phone out and video this shit as he's driving by it. And so I asked him a question. I said, bro, did you stop to see if anybody needed any help? And the response I got, to be quite honest with you, kind of floored me. He said, no, fuck that. I'm on my way to go see Rogan. Motherfucker shouldn't have bought a Ford. And I'll tell you what, I was so pissed that I unfriended the individual and actually blocked him. You know, when you hear stories like that, MF, what does it make you think about that type of situation and how social media, people are more inept to break out their cell phone and video something than they are to help somebody?
To be honest, I think social media is kind of irrelevant, just even given the topic. Yeah, it's I forget the actual term for it, but it's like I don't need to do it. Somebody else will do it. I don't need to do it. Somebody else will do it. Like, it's all right. Like, I'm not going to stop and help that person. Nah, somebody behind me will do it, or somebody else saw them. Somebody already called.
Diffusion of responsibility.
Thank you. They automatically assume that somebody else is going to take it, so they don't have to do it, although they feel bad. You know, I'm guilty of shit sometimes, too, because I see a poor motherfucker on the street, and I'm like, fuck, I got a dollar in my fucking, you know, in my little cup tray or whatever. But then by the time I actually get to fucking do it, the light goes, and I'm like, oh, well, somebody else will give it to them. Yeah, you know, so I'm guilty of it too. But at the same time, like, you see a fucking car on fire, like, you know, are you gonna stop? Are you gonna sit there and fucking film it? Like, not everybody's a saint, dude. You know, like, I'm not so much of a saint to say, like, you know, I'll fucking protect and try and save everyone, but I'm not a fucking complete douchebag to say that I'm going to sit there and just watch somebody suffer if I can help. So, I don't know, man. It's kind of, it is what it is. I don't think social media really has all that much to do with it. All this is for people to feel like their lives are relevant because they all got stuck into some kind of fucking rut working for some job they hate or doing something they don't like. They're pissed off at this. They wish, you know, they peaked in fucking high school. Whatever it is, social media is a way for people to feel like they're fucking relevant, like their lives actually matter. And that's the thing. It's all fucking selfish. It all comes down to selfishness.
I like that, you know, but, you know, I'm not Captain Save-A-Ho either, or, you know, Mr. Perfect in that aspect. But, you know, the thing about it just blows my mind. And I think that it's because I am, you know, the age that I am. But, you know, hell, even in the worst days in Danger Island over there off Meadowview or Oak Park, you know, we used to make a joke, you know, if you break down, are 10 people going to stop to help you or 10 people going to stop to rob you? But at least somebody stopped. You know, now you don't even get that shit, you know. But, you know, I think you're right. I think the Internet has given too much attention. And I'll go back to a previous statement I made months and months and months ago that I don't think the Internet should have ever been put into public hands. I think it should have been kept for government use only. But as we all know, it's Big Brother's way of keeping an eye on us. You know, I kind of want to touch on another, you know, aspect of life that kind of left me frowning. And I don't know too much of the situation myself, and maybe one of you can enlighten me. You know, I understand there was either a mass shooting or a mass attack in New York in the last couple of days. I kind of stayed away from social media due to trying to get things done. What was the situation that occurred in New York?
It was a vehicle this time, Don. It was somebody who they drove a car up on a bike path, and I think they killed 7 people.
Yes, that's insane. And you know, I look at it.
Wasn't there just
like,
some fucking shooting that took out 15 people on fucking Halloween too, or some shit like that? It was like a Halloween party over the weekend. It's like 15 people died.
Yeah, I know there's two things because, you know, of course it comes up in my news feed that, because I have friends from all over the freaking world, but that people were being marked safe during this mass shooting or this event, and that's mostly the way I hear about it. Was that's one thing I will agree, I do like that aspect of social media, because you know if somebody is okay, you know, but also you find out all the bad that's going on. You know, I tell you what, the thing that caught my attention, I saw a video the other day, and, you know, I'm one that believes all lives matter. You know, I don't give a fuck if you're black, white, Chinese, what the fuck ever. But I got to let you know, this kind of didn't sit well with me, and it's probably will never sit well with me, and I'll probably never fully understand it. But I want to get your guys' thoughts on the situation. I watched two videos of the same officers. One was before they actually, got into the second situation, and the individual was white. It was pretty much they gave him a slap on the wrist and said, have a good night. The second video showed the same two police officers pulling a guy over that wasn't doing anything. They pulled him over. He was African-American. And they wanted him to take his backpack off, and he asked why was he, you know, in trouble. And he basically, they went to snatch his backpack off. When they did, he ran. He no more got 8-9 feet, and they shot this gentleman 10-11 times in his back. And, you know, I could kind of say, I put myself in, you know, in a place where I could see both sides of this. And it kind of, you know, pissed me off. Now, in certain aspects, I can see where the African-American community would be up in arms over this situation. And, you know, it really kind of actually pissed me off. You know, when you guys look at situations like that where you have the same two police officers within a one-hour time period treat one individual who's running from them, acting like a fool, treat him nothing but with common courtesy and respect. Then you've got an African-American individual who they shoot and kill over basically the same situation. When you look at that, what type of thoughts does it give you? And I'll go to you, MF, first.
You want to get the guy who's going to piss everybody off right now. I fucking hate this subject, but I love it at the same time. As far as it goes with the two cops, it's all perspective, it's all perception. It's all based off of how they view people, what they see, how people view them, what they see. You know, you got two groups of people that are legit scared that the other ones are going to fucking kill them. And they're both sitting there and they don't know how to interact with each other. You get people that, I'm not going to fucking listen to these motherfuckers. Why? I'm going to get fucking shot just for being me. I feel them on that. You know, like, that's a fucking shitty feeling to have to go through every day. Like, I don't fucking know it because, yes, I am fucking white. But nonetheless, dude, it's like, I would not want to be in that fucking situation. So I feel them for that. And it's fucking wrong that, the, you know, people fucking judge based off of that. But at the same time, you get assholes that fucking, like, the issue with Colby Covington, you know what I mean? It's like, people start to generalize an entire demographic of people based off of a few people's fucking actions. But when you really look at it, that's how fucking humans are programmed, dude. It's like the propaganda. Like, think about, like, when the war was going on, Americans were taught to fucking, you know, the Nazis are fucking evil people, and they fucking were. The Japanese are fucking evil people. And it was like, the Japanese just fucking got involved at the wrong time, dude. And then fucking some shit went fucking bad, you know what I mean? But it's propaganda. It's like, it's teaching you to think that these people are evil. Even, like, sports teams, dude. Like, why do sports teams have fucking rivals? What the fuck difference does that make? Like, oh, I gotta hate this fucking team just because I like this team? Like, and when you really think about it, it's all through fucking society. It leaks out into everything else. And then you get these guys that go on to be cops that have shit fucking training. I mean, like, legit shit fucking training. Like, you're training for life or death, like, real situations. There are guys out there that fucking take their job seriously and are fucking good dudes, you know? Like, I know a couple personally. But at the same time, there's a lot of them that could have been, like, bullies or fucking, you know, want to remain relevant, like, fucking picking on people and just, you know, transfer that on in their fucking career. Or you get these guys that think, like, oh, I'm going to be a fucking cop. And the second something fucking scary happens, like, they lose all their fucking sense of fucking, you know, what would be the fucking word? Travis, help me out. Not morality. They lose control of, like, what they normally would do. You know what I mean? Like, when people fight scared, what do? They jump the gun and they fucking do some shit. They make a reckless fucking move because they're more afraid of getting hurt than they actually end up getting hurt. And so you get these fucking guys that go in there and they want to be cops, they want to do this, but then you put them in a real-life situation, they panic and fucking something happens. But then at the same time, a lot of these motherfuckers aren't held accountable, dude, because we all know that fucking amongst different types of police organizations, it's like a mob. It's like a mafia. There's legit fucking shadow shit that goes on with them. Everybody understands that. Everybody knows that. Well, what the fuck are you going to do? You know, and then you get social media. All that's doing is let's just drive the wedge fucking deeper. Let's just drive the wedge deeper. To me, it's like fucking Freddy Krueger, you know what I mean? The more people talk about it, the more relevant it gets, and the more it pisses people off. So, like, dude, I've been staying on social media. I'm tired of going on every single day and seeing nothing but bullshit, nothing but this fucking atrocity is happening. This person killed this person done this, this is this, fucking I hate my state, this and blah, 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 the government. Like, it's all fucking nonsense, you know? I'm like, if everybody just focused on their own shit, like their own circle, their own fucking what's in their immediate control, and just did that, then things would be fine. At least in my opinion, you know, because if everybody's focusing on themselves, or not necessarily themselves, but focusing on what they can focus on and not something fucking trivial like Facebook, then the world would be changing. But it's become so fucking sedentary and, like, stationary that nobody wants to grow. Nobody wants to do anything anymore. And it's killed through the fucking children, like the incentive to fucking do good. Because why am I going to do good when you're just going to give this fucking asshole who did shit the same fucking thing that I'm doing? Which I understand why people are complaining about fucking, you know, like, giving all the money to people that don't deserve it, this and this and this. But I got another fucking bone to pick about that, too, because I was making 6 figures a fucking year. I was 23 years old. I got kicked out of fucking high school. I earned all that shit myself, fucking hustling, grinding, fucking living, you know, doing the fuck I was doing. And all that shit went away when all of a sudden I had to start paying a lot more for a lot of different people. Now, why the fuck did I deserve to fucking do that? How did I go from making 6 figures a year to not even fucking 15? And people want to fucking bitch and complain about some shit. Let's bitch and fucking complain about some shit. Have you even seen 6 figures in a year? You know, like, I lost more in my pay than what most people make in 2 years. So, you know, like, I hella fucking twisted and went off subject, but back on the fucking cops and the fucking the people getting shot. Quit giving this shit fucking relevance. anytime people want to bitch about it, they want to do this, let's say it's because of race, it was because of this, it was because of this, it was because of this. It's fucking Freddy Krueger, it's a boogeyman. The more people talk about it, the more relevance can it fucking get. Yes, we can acknowledge it, the fact that it does fucking exist, but not everybody is racist. Not every cop is fucking bad. Not every fucking, you know, brother out there is going to fucking go and kill somebody or listen to rap music or does some fucking stupid shit like that. Like, dude, there's good people of all races, all religions, all creeds, all credos. There's also assholes. So you can't sit there and fucking, you know, generalize just based off of a few motherfuckers and then, you know, but turn around and do the same thing to another group. Like, it makes no fucking sense to me.
Yeah, you know what? I kind of want to touch on one more thing, one aspect, and then I'll toss it to Travis. You know, I like how you put that, you know, because I've seen an actual valid post from a news agency, and they referred to there's some, you know, I guess some groups that were creating themselves together on Facebook to meet at a certain college to, you know, beat up people. And the headline was something along the lines, actually, I don't want to get it wrong, so, oh, Black Beast Attack White Youth. You know, and I went, wow, for real? So I went and I watched this video, and for one, you can't, there's no descriptive look at anybody from this video, so you can't define them as Black Beast. And, you know, I understand that the situation isn't, you know, cool either way you look at it, but for an actual news reporting agency to refer to people as Black Beast, it just kind of threw me off, you know, and it kind of left my morals out the window as far as, you know, this news agency. So with that being said, Travis, what's your take on the whole scenario?
Oh, man. I mean, you know, from my personal, you know, I know quite a few cops. I mean, my older brother is a cop. And just to put it quite frankly, my older brother's a fucking dickhead. He's a sadistic asshole. He's a recreational asshole. Like, he gets joy and humor out of fucking with people and being a dick. I also know, you know, a few kids I went to high school with who were some of the biggest bullies, some of the biggest, most insecure, closed-minded, selfish pieces of shit that I went to high school with, who now have, you know, who now have a badge and the fucking ability over life and death. And they're the law, and they're making the fucking rules. You know, what's really fucked up about it is I think that cops are being less racist and shooting less people more than ever. I think if you want to go back to the fucking, you know, the early 90s, you know, you want to go back to before the internet, before everyone had camera phones, and I think cops were even more racist and more fucked up and shooting way more fucking people, and nobody heard about it, you know? I mean, cops are people, and they're not stupid. They obviously know that everybody has a cell phone on them nowadays, and look how many of them are still getting in trouble doing fucking immoral, fucked up things. You know, but I don't blame the people. I don't think that it is, you know, I mean, obviously it's the individual's fault, but the job of being a police officer, especially in this country, is one of the most fucked up things in the world. I mean, they're essentially glorified fucking revenue collectors who are going out and, you know, writing tickets and getting fines, and they're not out doing real good police work anymore, you know. They're not kicking down fucking meth labs. What are they doing? They're finding people who are growing fucking pot in their backyard, you know. And again, like I said, this isn't to be against all cops. I have, you know, my uncle is a chief of police down in Southern California. Like I said, my brother's a cop. You know, it runs in my family a little bit. And there are good cops out there who are legitimately fucking superheroes, who got into it for the right reason, to protect and to help people, and they're some of the nicest, most altruistic people you'll ever meet. But I think the position of being a cop, just the job of it, is an incredibly fucked up one. And, you know, and on top of that, I do think that there are a lot of fucking racist people in this country. And I think that some of those fucking racist people decide that, you know what, I'm going to go and be a cop, and they make it through all the shit, and, you know, this is just what we have nowadays. You know, but like I've said, you know, time and time again, we only use social media and the internet for the fucked up things and for the bad things, you know. People need to learn how to use social media, you know, to spread the good and to really be able to police the police and, you know, to make everything honest and fair. And, you know, people can do that through social media, but it's just people never seem to use it the right way.
I agree, you know, and what I'm about to spit out before we move on to a brighter side of life, you know, I did a little bit of research, and I found something that kind of blew my mind away. You know, the African American society says that, you know, they're being socially picked on, and you know, you get the KKK and white supremacists and all these that say they're being socially and morally picked on. But when I dug into this a little bit deeper, and that's why I kind of like doing shows, and at the end of whatever we're going to talk about, you know, I kind of like to bring it to a head, but this time I'm going to do it a little bit early. You know, for the people that are listening, you know, if you really want to understand, you know, go and do some research, because you'll find out that there's more black-on-black crime than there is white-on-black crime, than there is law enforcement crime on blacks. And the same to go with each and every nationality. There's more white-on-white crime than there is white-on-black crime. And so, you know, when I looked at that whole as a just, you know, you look at it is society that has us believing that one race is being picked on more than the other. It has us looking at each and every day as life is degressing in that aspect, when I think you're right, Travis. I think it was worse way back then. But the point of this whole discussion, you know, bringing up the, you know, race and things of that nature, is that we're all doing it to ourselves. You know, there's not one group that is out there more responsible than the other. At the end of the day, there's more black-on-black crime, there's more white-on-white crime than there is the law enforcement on any nationality. And, you know, I'm not defending law enforcement by any means, but fact is fact. I mean, black people are killing themselves more than anybody else. White people are killing themselves more than anybody else. Does it make it right? No. But at the end of the day, it's not the police officer's fault. It's society's fault. You know, moving forward, I kind of saw something that kind of made me laugh. You know, you look at Kevin Spacey, you know, for one, it kind of caught me off guard that he was homosexual. You know, that gentleman, I don't get why people wait all these years to make these types of statements, but obviously the gentleman was telling the truth about Kevin Spacey, and he came out and he admitted it. And then not even within the next hour, he made a statement, really, you know, saying that he was openly gay and living with a man. And the reason I bring this up, because I think social media can work in a good way. You know, everybody looked at Kevin Spacey with respect and this and that. But the one thing that I took away that I thought was pretty cool was not only did he get fired immediately, but they yanked the show from the network. They completely just pulled his show completely off of the network, and it will never air again. When you look at social media working in that aspect, what are your thoughts, MF Beck?
Man, I think all this, and I'm going to bring it right back to what you were just talking about, because I think it's all connected, personally. I think the whole deal with fucking Hollywood, with the music industry, with fucking social media, with TV, I think it's all there to fucking program people. It's all there to fucking program people and to get them to believe in the shit like this is okay. Like, you look at how many fucking guns and action movies and fucking spies and shit. Like, I like ninja movies, you know what I mean? I like seeing motherfuckers kill each other with swords and shit. But there's a fucking, you know, fine line between shit. You look at video games, you Grand Theft Auto, perfect fucking example. How many 8-year-olds, 9-year-olds, 10-year-olds have been fucking playing that game and thinking, like, oh, this shit's cool, I can just fucking do this. Some fucking kid goes and plays some fucking mass shooting game, and then fucking next thing you know, he goes and shoots up a motherfucking movie theater or a fucking school or some other fucking crazy shit. And everybody's like, oh, let's blame the fucking guns. Oh, let's fucking this. It's like, number one, why did that fucking kid have access to all this shit? I remember having to put in a motherfucking blood code for Mortal Kombat. You know what I mean? Back in the fucking Sega Genesis days, like, you had to know a fucking code to see a little bit of fucking, what is it, 16-bit ass fucking blood. You know what I mean? And you get these kids that grow up seeing all this violence, all this shit, and then you hear about it on the fucking radio. Every single hip-hop song out there right now that is on the fucking radio talks about drugs, women, and gangbanging. And that, you know, the crazy thing is, like that in the 90s. It was like that in the fucking early 2000s. It's like that fucking now. And nobody wants to sit there and fucking think about, like, oh, well, why are these kids fucking listening to shit? Why are these kids fucking watching it? Like, society fucking is able to engage them. Why? Because fucking these kids pay money. Parents pay money for these kids to fucking have shit. And that's who keeps feeding the fucking, the monster, the green giant, whatever the fuck you want to call it. You know, it just keeps getting fed because these people spend money on it, spend money on it, spend money on it. And it makes them believe that you're not going to amount to shit unless you do this, unless you do this, unless you do this. And think about, like, demographics, where certain shows, certain commercials, certain music is played. It's all meant to cater to that particular demographic in that particular fucking area to get them to believe, act, think, do as they're being told to fucking do. You know, and then, like I said, like, it's parents aren't being held accountable. The fucking government doesn't give a shit because they're making money. The government controls all the fucking music industry and fucking Hollywood and everything else. They're all fucking in cahoots. They all make money off people doing this stupid fucking shit. So it's the parents aren't being held accountable. And, you know, I've seen parents like that too, where they'll sit there and be like, nope, he's got to handle his own shit. He's a grown ass man now. And so I do, like, I'll set this for the fucking record, dude. I'm able to do what I can do because of my parents' support, number one. No matter how much of an asshole I was and how much me and my dad don't get along, my parents, hey, even though I was crazy, they still fucking supported me. You know, and then I got the support of all my fucking dudes that are with me right now. So it's like, you got to have a support system, dude. And it's like, nobody's being held accountable. Like Travis says, I fucking, you know, what the fuck do you say? Like, extreme accountability.
So extreme ownership.
Extreme ownership, thank you. There's a whole, like, situation that goes on between fucking this racial divide and everything else. It's because that's what's being fucking sold on TV. It's what's being sold on this. The different fucking different TV stations or different fucking broadcast medias or whatever, they all cater to a particular fucking political side, which is real strange because if they're fucking different, if they're not really in cahoots, then why does each demographic or each side cater to another side? And then why is the other side demonized? Think about it. And then you get fucking motherfuckers like Kevin Spacey, like, oh, I'm going to come out as fucking gay because of all these fucking sexual harassment charges. I'm like, please. People want to act like, oh, it's a big deal, fucking Hollywood. Oh, guys are fucking touching people and motherfuckers aren't sucking dicks to get fucking movies. And no, dude, it's been like that for the longest time. Now all of a sudden people want to act like they're fucking got some moral code to be like, oh, that's so fucking terrible. Shut the fuck up. You already knew what the hell's been going on for the longest time. It wasn't until somebody came forward, oh, now you got a parent and you want to say something? And then think about that shit, too. How many people are just going to jump on that bandwagon to try and get a fucking check because, oh, this guy fucking touched me, or, oh, this chick did this, or this guy licked me fucking wrong. Let me get a fucking paycheck and completely ruin these people's fucking lives. But then you hear all these underground stories about these actors and what they actually had to do in order to be a part of the Actors Guild or whatever it is where these motherfuckers get paid money. And then these people go to, you know, stop certain things. I'm not going to say it because of the conspiracy theory motherfuckers, whatever. But there's certain celebrities that have been killing themselves recently, but the one thing they've all had in common is they've all been going against a certain structure. They've all been trying to expose a certain fucking structure. So it's all connected. Let's fucking enslave the kids, get all the adults fighting amongst them fucking selves, and guess what? We're just going to collect all this fucking money, and ain't nobody going to do shit. Because some people would rather be slaves than to fucking, you know, have a chance at death.
Yeah, I dig it. What's your thoughts on it, Travis?
Well, Don, it's a good thing that you saved this for the end of the show because here's probably where I'm going to shut the show down. But honestly, what are the craziest things about this entire thing to me was what you guys actually just said. And the only thing that I've seen, and that's that, oh, Kevin Spacey comes out as gay. Kevin Spacey comes out as gay. But that's not the story at all. I mean, this is one of the biggest deflections in Hollywood that I've ever seen, because the story is that he was trying to fuck a 14-year-old boy. It's not that he was gay and that he was having the, you know, these, I mean, he said that he was, you know, gay for years and having relationships, but this thing that actually brought it out was the fact that he tried to fuck a 14-year-old boy, and he's trying to deflect it away from pedophilia. Now, you know, I recently, this is one of the conspiracy theory rabbit holes I've been fucking just drug into recently, man. But there is a lot of really, really fucking weird, really weird, high-level, interconnected shit going along with Hollywood and pedophilia that's really just starting to break right now, you know? And you're just seeing it, and Now, I guess to try and get myself out of some trouble here, I was listening to a podcast, so I'll put this on Dan Carlin because he's a fucking genius. Because he's a genius and a fucking historian, and he made a really good point about what might be going on. So he points out that you get these, you know, and this is where we're going down the little conspiracy theory rabbit hole. But you get these really, really high-level elite groups together, you know, high-level elite government groups, high-level elite Hollywood groups of, you know, the 20 people who own all the fucking movie theaters, the Harvey fucking Weinsteins, you know, these people who are getting them together. And when you have a group of, you know, 20 or 25 elite people who are controlling something and moving in secret, the only way that these people can keep their mouths shut and all have some dirt on each other is they have to all be involved in something so vile and so fucked up that nobody can ever say anything or it'll destroy the entire group. You know, that was what Dan Carlin's idea was that he put forth in a podcast, and I just thought it's been really interesting. And I think there's a lot of really fucking weird things going on, and I think it's really weird that nobody at all is talking about the fact that Kevin Spacey, you know, back in the 80s or what it was trying to fuck a 14-year-old boy. And instead, they just want to focus on, oh, he's gay now, so we should probably give him an award like Caitlyn Jenner and call him a hero.
You know, I have to agree with you. You know, it does seem like a cover-up in that aspect. You know, as far as I know, there's no statute of limitations on pedophilia. So, you know, you look at it in that aspect, he should be charged just as anybody else. But as far as what MF was saying, and even you know, I think when you look at the way Hollywood was based and founded and still continues to run, it's a you know, you do me a favor type business and I'll get you places. And, you know, a lot of businesses are that way in life. And when you look at it, it's pretty sad. You know, it's one step above human trafficking, in my opinion. You know, I'm disgusted with the whole thing, you know, and the thought, like you said, you know, that everybody is trying to walk away from the thought that he was trying to have sex with a 14-year-old boy. Let it be somebody other than Kevin Spacey, and the situation would have, out, you know, played itself out a little bit different. You know, I kind of want to end this show on a thought that I had from last Thursday's Boxing Edition with Legends. You know, tomorrow's going to be a tremendous day as I get to go back in time and interview a part of the sport that I'm surprised it's even around anymore. But one thing I took away from last week, and that was after my interview with Tyrone Jackson, you know, a man that was 43-3 in the sweet science, you know, I spoke to the owner of Ring 10 the following day, and he thanked me. He said, "Don, I just want to thank you." And I was like, "For what?" He said, "You know, Tyrone walks down the street. Nobody knows who he is." He says, "Nobody but Tyrone." He says, "You know, that man fought for years in the ring and gave everything he had to become a warrior, just so when he walks down the street, not a soul knows who he is." And I said, "So why are you thanking me?" He says, "Because, for, you know, it's nice for people to reach out to people like that and put them on a pedestal and let them tell their stories and let them feel relevant, if it's even for 30 minutes or for an hour. You know, you gave that man back part of his life. If my show can change people's thoughts, if my show can make somebody's day, or if, you know, people don't disagree, you know, or don't agree with my show, at least, you know, we're putting out different thoughts and different variations of who we are as individuals in life, and being able to share each and every person that comes on my show is a blessing to me, whether the show goes great or whether it doesn't. You know, at least what I'm doing in life is trying to continue a legacy, trying to give people a voice, and let something else be heard in its actual fact and not a fictional text. You know, I appreciate this Misfits of Gold weekly special. To me, it always enlightens me. It gives me a different perspective on things we talk about. It helps me going forward in life, and, you know, I truly appreciate doing, you know, you guys coming on each and every week and doing it. You know, I'm going to hand the microphone over to you, Travis, because I know you guys got to get to class and training and things of that nature. Any sponsors, any friends, any family, just anything else you'd like to add to the program before we, we sign off this another great episode of the Misfits of Gold, bro.
You know, we got a little crazy today, and I think, you know, these episodes kind of, with us, it seems like we kind of go dark kind of sometimes. So I think I'd like to end with something, you know, a little bit on the brighter side. And, you know, like, we touched on race and a lot of things today, but I don't care if you're in a ghetto in a Compton or if you're in a trailer park in Alabama. I think that socioeconomic factors are far bigger than race. And, you know, just to touch on a thing that I've said on this program before, you know, the only thing about real life is that if everybody in this country were to wake up tomorrow and they were going to just decide to be a better person and to help out their friends and to help out their families, to be more present and more aware, to put down the social media and all the dumb shit, and to just start, you know, focusing on love and community and family and the people around them, man, you know, if everybody in the country were to just wake up tomorrow and do that, then we would magically just live in a fucking incredible world. And, you know, that's all it takes. And the only thing that people can control is you yourself individually, you know. All you can control is your actions. So just go out there and spread love, everybody.
Amen to that. MF?
Man, actually, I was going to, you know, try and talk to the listeners a little bit and say that if any one of them want to jump on the green room at any point in time, I'm welcoming of it. I'd like to hear other people's opinions and thoughts and even, you know, their take on what we're saying. Just engage in conversation. I actually create connections, you know what I mean? Like, that would be my main thing because I feel kind of redundant thinking the same people, saying the same things, you know. It's a little redundant. This one's more to the people, to the listeners, you know what I mean? Because they are the bread and butter, dude. Like, they actually give us a reason to fucking do this. Or not a reason, but they give us the ability to, on top of your fucking ugly ass. But, you know, engage in conversation. I say, like, go out, try to make a connection, one connection a day. Not a fucking Facebook connection, not a social media connection, an actual connection, a face-to-face interaction. Get that person's name, try to remember it, you know what I mean? That way, if you see them around again, fucking, you can say what's up, just nothing. Even if it's something as frivolous as fucking engaging in small talk. I fucking hate small talk. But make a connection. Try to make a connection with anybody, about anything. Find something that you can fucking connect to and... You know, anything. It could be sports, music. There's no politics, no fucking religion. Find something to connect with somebody and connect. Make a fucking connection.
You know, I truly believe that is a cool aspect to add because, you know, if people could just go one day and think outside of their cell phone and social media and do like you gentlemen said, just make a connection. And, you know, last week before we end the show, last week I have a friend that we've been friends on social media forever. Actually never sat down and broke bread or met the gentleman. He happened to be in town getting ready for a meeting and hit me up and said, hey, I'd like to buy you a cup of coffee. And, you know, for the first time in my life, I actually felt it was relevant to go and kick it with somebody like that that had been friends with me on social media for so long. So I actually went and had coffee at Starbucks and got to know the person, you know, away from social media. And you know what? A lot can be a beautiful place. Like, you know, like you guys said, just reach out, make a connection, and gain a new friend.
Oh, shit, you ain't ready for us, motherfucker, either.
You know, you always climbing on me. You're always climbing on me.
You ain't ready, motherfucker. You said you was leaving on the 11th. I'm just waiting for your ugly ass to get here so we can actually hang out and smoke one.
Well, I thought it was going to be the 11th, but you know what? It turned out a situation occurred that... helped me move my date up a little bit more. And, you know, sometimes in life, I'm going to leave both of you with this thought. Sometimes in life, no matter how hard you want something, no matter how hard you try to make that situation work and make it better, you know, you can't always have it the way you want it. And, you know, I tried for 34 years. I gave my all and even, you know, stopped myself from doing something last month just to make sure that I could walk away with a clear conscience and an open heart. And, you know, I'm not going to lie. You know, it's going to be one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life. But at the same time, sometimes there's things that you just can't fix. And sometimes in life, it's going to hand you something that you just can't swallow anymore. And that's where I'm at in my life. But As far as MF making fun of me, bro, you'll see when I get there. You know, it won't be as easy in person as it is over the phone. You might think you're
shit, like yo, Beaker looking for fucking Sesame Street ass motherfucker, Burton or anything.
That's
all
what
you gonna do? What you gonna do? You gonna stand
I'll
up and give me a
posse.
Fucking standing ovation, motherfucker? What you gonna do?
Yeah, whatever. No, but I look forward to it, man. It'll probably be Monday, Tuesday, but I look forward to seeing you guys. Thanks again
Hell
for
yeah.
coming on the show and another tremendous episode. But most importantly, to the listeners, next Thursday, be sure to tune in. And I'm going to put it out there that we're doing a huge Q&A next Wednesday. So when we do the show, there's more people in the green room asking questions. And that way we can turn it into more of a forum-style show next week. But until then, thank you, Travis. Thank you, MF. Always a pleasure to do a show with you guys. Much love and much respect.
Likewise,
love you, Don.
Likewise.
All right, peace. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the Misfits of Gold weekly special. You know, we touched on some pretty crazy topics today, but, you know, it's just about life. You know, I wasn't putting anybody in a category, but when you look at certain stigmatas and situations in life, you know, social media, the news, isn't always the right place to look for answers. So if you're looking for answers to your questions, always look for research and factual information. And if you go that way, you can't be wrong. On that note, I want to thank Finished MMA. Without you, the show wouldn't happen. I want to thank the 86ers.net, Alfred and Freddie, much love. The United Way Merced, and Affliction. On that note, we're going to take you guys out with a little bit of old school. Well, here's a little bit of mystical for you. Enjoy the rest of your evening. God bless. Here I go.